This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Bella Karoly has coached two of the world's most famous gymnasts, Nadia Comaneci and Mary Lou Retton. 27 of his students have gone on to the Olympics. 7 of them have become Olympic champions. Karoly was the coach of Romania's Olympic gymnastics team, but communist politics did him in, and in 1981, he and his wife defected to the United States. After getting his bearings and learning English, he went on to coach the U.S. Olympic team. He now runs gymnastics summer camps in Houston and is training Kim Zmaskal, the first American world champion gymnast, for her return to competitive gymnastics. Karoly tells his life story in his new memoir, Feel No Fear, The Power, Passion, and Politics of a Life in Gymnastics. He says that when he coached in Romania, he and his team were used politically by the dictatorship.
As being well known and had been a tremendous political tool, sports all been used by the former socialist countries, one of the great propaganda tools. They made a tremendous propaganda through their leading athletes, and basically that had the only thing what they could show positively to the world, what they're producing. And sure, they did not hesitate, and they had no embarrassment to use the names and the performance of those young athletes as a result of the political system, as a creation of the communism, of the socialism. And this tool was really, really used on outside very politely, very, very propaganda-wise, but inside forcefully, forcing the athletes, forcing the related people, the ones who were involved in preparation of those young athletes, to line up and really, really, really follow the direction what the communist leaders were lining up in front of them.
So what are some of the things you were expected to say or do to follow the line of the Communist Party in Romania?
Of course, nobody ever could mention the athletes are not doing it because the self-motivating reasons. The athletes always been pictured a very dedicated, willing to put on the line not just their physical effort, but even their life in order to serve the country. They're doing it from in the free reasons. And of course, you know, all these positive propaganda or slogans, which were very, very used on that time.
So you must have really resented that your hard work and the hard work of the athletes was showed within Romania to be just things you were doing to support the communist system.
Well, I rejected most of the things, but I could not speak up because speaking up, that would mean immediate direct persecution and jailed or any harsher punishment, which they practically been doing it all along. A direct conflict was created during the 1980 Moscow Olympic Games when I spoke up at that time against the Soviets, the ones who did totally denaturated that particular Olympic Games through the Western countries boycott. And among the Western countries, of course, United States was one of them who did not show up in 1980 Olympic Games. Soviets been dominating and Soviets been dictating all the results and all the outcome of the results. So I spoke out and we created a scene which later been considered as a tremendous anti-communist action, an anti-communist Olympic Games action. So I was accused about that, and from that point, my life was put under the very, very keen watch of the government.
So were the secret police on you after that?
Well, secret police has always been on anybody who was visible at that time in socialist countries, but the secret police watch, of course, doubled after that. And during a American propaganda and also money-making tour, a 20-city exhibition tour, which came up in in January, February 1981, I was followed by secret police in all my steps, and also I was actually victim of a setup which was combined government and secret police. And through that setup, I had no choice to return. I had to make the decision here in United States without any kind of pre-preparation of my defection to make that crucial and dramatic move.
Were you able to tell the girls on your team that you wouldn't be seeing them again?
it was almost impossible to come out and talk to them freely about my intention. I did not want that, first of all, to jeopardize their welfare. I then wanted to make them accomplice of my decision. But I get them together, and I talk to them briefly about how they're supposed to take their life and what is the reason they got to the point they are respected and well-known athletes in the world. And that was only hard work, dedication, and that's what I wanted to make sure they will never forget in their life. Only through hard work and dedication you can achieve something precious.
My guest is gymnastics coach Bela Karoly. He defected from Romania to the U.S. in 1981. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with gymnastics coach Bela Karoly. His new memoir is called Feel No Fear. Let me ask you about probably the most famous gymnast who you ever coached, Nadia Comăneci. How did you first meet her? How did she first start to work with you? And how old was she? How much did she weigh then?
Well. Nadia is a beautiful story. Probably is one of the brightest athletic stories in the gymnastic history. We've been screening the young athletes in kindergarten. So I've personally been going with hundreds and hundreds of kindergarten, watching the kids and trying to find out the most talented ones. And through this screening process, I found her in one elementary school, which was she was a first grader. And pick her up through this process and direct her to the gym. That's how we started out. Then 14 or 15 years in continuous coach and athlete relation. Sure, she became one of the most brightest, most spectacular young athlete of the times.
Now, what were some of the things that you did in coaching her and trying to shape not only her physical approach to gymnastics, but her attitude toward the sport?
The permanent interrelation was beautiful on the first 10 years of our coaching relation, athlete and coach. Unfortunately, after 1976, this relation get altered by the government stepping into our life. Both Nadia and myself, we've been placed very highly as the social ranking. The government gave us high orders and high visibility on our own country, but at the same time, they demanded to be with them, to follow their direction, to speak what they wanted to hear. And with this one, of course, both of us life were pretty much disturbed through this permanent process. Nadia was a young athlete and a young child, to say, at that time, because we're talking about 1977, 1978, when she still was a teenager and suddenly placed in such a high visibility position in Romania, and being placed right next to the president and following the president in many, many different functions, and the high visibility visits of foreign dignitaries just totally disturbed her life, and of course disturbed her athletic preparation. That was a tremendous downfall at that time of her, of course, which came out with a dramatic downfall on her athletic abilities and athletic performances. Maybe some of the people remembers how Nadia disappeared in 1978 and wasn't even capable to line up on her national championship. Then being in such a big trouble, she asked me, Bela, help me to get back once again. Then I stepped back in 1978 again on her life and built her up for another Olympic Games, which was probably one of the most brilliant, most spectacular performance she ever had in 1980 in Moscow, during the Moscow Olympic Games.
After she'd gotten back into shape and was performing excellently again, in 1979 she was going to compete in the World Championship, which was being held in Texas, but she hurt her hand right before the competition. And as the competition was about to start, her hand was swollen and numb, and there was blood seeping through the bandage. What did you advise her to do?
This was a dramatic moment. One of the things which an ordinary athlete and an ordinary person cannot handle. And even today, thinking back, I have goosebumps recalling those dramatic moments when we find it out she is injured, because nobody knew about it. Our delegation leader, who was the president at that time of the Romanian Federation, took her in that particular morning, which was the day of the optional competition, a team competition, took her to the hospital where a surgery was performed in an infected wrist, which usually we handled on our own homemade remedies and never been subject of dropping out of the competition. But the zealous fellow who was wanted to have this authority to take her to the hospital did it. And of course, whenever you're getting in the hands of the doctor, they're going to do what they think is needed to be done. And they considered it needed to be done a surgery. So they did perform a surgery on her wrist.
So you were really surprised to find out the day of the competition that Nadia had had hand surgery. So she really wasn't fit to compete. Yet you sent her in anyways. What came over you?
The drama of the moment was multiple. First of all, Nadia's personal drama, the one who went through the surgery, that went through to this tremendous moment to realize she cannot compete. But second of all, we had another drama going on, and that was the athletic rivalry between the Romanians and the Soviets, the ones who been celebrating Nadia's injury.
Oh, and they were really glad. The Soviets were really glad she was injured. Now they stood a better chance of winning.
Absolutely, because that she was Nadia was still Nadia, the Olympic champion and the most visible athlete of those times, and the drama of our young remaining athletes, the ones who suddenly completely got handicapped because not just their star, but one performing athlete was missing from the team. You cannot replace the athletes as long they already perform on the compulsory part of the competition. So we not just been discovered, but we lost our best competitor for the rest of the competition, which was coming up. So that's why NMA decided to use her, even though I knew she could not do in uneven parallel bars, to have her go up, touch the bar, and come down. The score was 1 point. One single point. But that 1 point gave her a chance to be present to the next event. If you skip first event, you are eliminated from the competition. Now, and I did not know at that time, really. I really didn't know at that time how much this moment gonna count later on. I did not know we ever even gonna use her at all or just gonna be a formality. But later on became such a dramatic moment which turned the whole competition and generated a ultimate result, what the Romanian teams managed finally to do, to won the very first team world championships against the Soviets.
When you sent Nadia in to actually compete, what did you advise her to do, to just work on one hand?
The moment came at the time when after the second event, which was the beam event, our last competitor, our fifth girl, did not perform to the performance what we expected from her. She had a fall. In this very moment, even though after an even parallel bar, which was first event, we still managed to lead the competition. After her fall, which was the very last, between the five remaining athletes, our chances that moment were completely gone to be even close anymore to the Soviets. So that was the moment Nadia, as the sixth and last competitor, I asked her to go up and try to do a performance for herself, for her teammates, for me, and for anybody who loves her. And she looked at me. She did not say a word. She did not ask questions. She stood up from the bench. She walked up to the beam, and she did perform her incredible and unforgettable beam routine, which is going to stand up ever of anybody's mind who was at that time on that arena. And on the end of that routine, which actually was performed by one hand, she managed to receive the highest score of the whole competition, a 9.95, only 0.005 from a perfection, which placed back the Romanian team, gave the wing, and gave the opportunity to become, after two events, the very first time world champions in team competitions in front of the Soviets.
Have you ever had any regrets about defecting?
I did not started out my American life trying to whine or trying to even regret anything from the past. I had no choice. I had not the second choice to do it, and as long that was the reality, the only thing what I was looking for, it is to work, to create my own choice and my own chances to survive. And through that one, I had absolutely no regrets on anything what happened. Of course, wasn't a red carpet rolled out from my in front of me at the time when we came. I worked extremely hard, and even I was removed from gymnastic community and even from my own profession, working in the docks, loading and loading ship, cleaning restaurants, which is part of probably at the very beginning American life for any kind of immigrant who comes in. But I believe that just make you stronger and make you realize nothing is in America, and just like nothing in the world is coming for free. There is no free lunch out, and if you want to get something, you better work for it.
Bella Caroli's new memoir is called Feel No Fear. This is Fresh Air.